This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the gospel reading, Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may trust in Christ and his atoning sacrifice for us, so that we may live in humility to be raised up by you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We are here today because our Lord Jesus Christ does not stand apart from us. He doesn't stand apart from us and treat us with contempt. Instead, as our brother, he is with us, and more than this, provides an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Listen to this. It's from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Jesus had to become like his brothers and sisters in every way, like us, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Our Lord Jesus is one with us, to be one for us. He does not regard us with contempt, but is a faithful high priest who intercedes for us and who offers for us an atonement for our sins. Now, I'm going to come back to this at the end of the sermon after we have listened to the parable that Jesus gives us today. Well, the good thing about today's parable is we know something about the audience, who Jesus has in mind as he speaks the words. Here's how the text starts. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. In other words, this is a parable for a mindset. When we think that we are in ourselves righteous, when we think that this gives us liberty to treat others with contempt, to look down on them. If ever we are in this mindset, we have words given to us by Jesus to save us. Well, could it be that we could ever fall into this way of thinking? It's possible. We're up against it as human beings. The world, the flesh, the devil stand arrayed against us to tempt us into a way of thinking which indeed comes naturally. Let's think about the world, first of all. Other people. Now, it's not likely that other people are going to say to us, "You're a good person." It doesn't happen much in life, really. But what happens much more commonly is to collude together with other human beings so that we who are speaking together, feel superior to others. And we can use it by doing such things as using labelling words, talking about the rednecks or the snobs or you name it. We're talking together with people. We use labels like this to write off a section of humanity. And we feel together that we're not like that. We're superior to those sorts of people. We are a right thinking, they're not. And it can give us a certain sense of self-righteousness. I don't think this sort of thing is far from any of us. And it can happen quite naturally in conversation, even without our noticing it. Using labels against others so that we who are speaking together feel like we are truly in the know, the right people. It's the world. It's how things are. We can easily be taken in to this way of thinking. And we see it all over the place, in conversation, in social media, you name it. Okay, the world can tempt us to think that we can trust in ourselves. So can our own flesh, our own pride. Let's say we're reading the newspaper or watching the news, and we hear about some crime. Let's say it's something dreadful like sexual assault on a child. And we can think to ourselves, well, I would never do anything like that. Or embezzlement. Or drug addiction. I would never go down those paths, we can think to ourselves. As if we are different from the common run of humanity. Untemptable in these regards. Out of the question for us. Thinking we're made not of human flesh and blood, but there are angels, untemptable. We can persuade ourselves that we are righteous, that we would not fall in these ways if we were tempted. That's how it can work with the flesh. And then there's the devil who can tempt us too. And here is where it can become a bit more difficult. You're basically a good person. Look at the way you live. There are evil people in the world, but you're not one of them. Don't worry. You're okay. When you get to God, you've done enough good things to get through the door. You don't need to worry about putting your trust in anyone else other than yourself. Everything is fine. We can be persuaded to think this way, to think that we are in ourselves righteous. And we can, when we are persuaded to think this way, look down on others and treat them with contempt. As if we are made from different stuff, we are the true human beings, they are not. Well, again, today's parable Jesus gives us to save us from spiritual delusion and this path that leads to death, and to restore us to a right relationship with God. So we know why Jesus is giving us this parable, the audience he has in mind, a way of thinking that we're tempted towards, but he gives us words to lift us onto a better path. Now let's think through the details of the parable. Here's what Jesus says. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Let's think first of all about the location of this parable. Do you hear where it's located? In the temple, right? And they go to the temple to pray. Did these two men need to go to the temple to pray? No, they could have prayed anywhere. Jesus, our Lord, prayed in all sorts of different locations, on hilltops, in a garden, yes, in the synagogue and temple too, but it didn't need to be in the temple. You could pray anywhere. Okay, maybe because they go to the temple because the word of God is proclaimed there, but the word of God was also proclaimed in the synagogues. If that was the point, they could have gone there. There was something, though, that happened in the temple that happened nowhere else, and that is sacrifice. Sacrifice for sin. So in this parable, you have two men going into the temple to the place of sacrifice for sin. One of them is a Pharisee, a fellow who takes God's teaching very seriously, who wants to live according to it and to be a good example to others. The person who, if they're your neighbour, you could trust to take your bins out for you if you're on holidays, and to take your mail in, and they'd be trustworthy in doing it. That sort of thing. The other fellow is a tax collector. Now, we talk about tax collectors here in our congregation as they come up in the readings. Of course, in those days, tax collectors were people who were collaborators with the Roman regime, who made money by charging extra, who were seen as traitors, rightly you could say, seen as traitors to their own people, making money while using Roman military force to get rich. People who looked after number one, who saw the world in perhaps very cynical terms, and who feathered their own nest. They're the two people in this location. Then Jesus says, the Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. Now note the body language. This fellow is standing apart by himself, proudly apart from the common run of humanity. Listen also to his words, setting himself apart. Now, I think we're meant to understand that this guy is sincere in what he's saying, that he really does fast twice a week, that he really does give one-tenth of all his income. So what we have here, it seems to me, is not hypocrisy in the way that we would use that word, someone who professes one way of action and then does another. No, this guy really does these things. Well, what's the problem with this? He's thanking God, after all. He's being sincere, after all. Well, one way of exposing the problem is to think about the location. He's in the temple, the place of sacrifice. Does this fellow ask for anything from a gracious God? I've used this example before. I'll use it again. It's a bit like going to the doctor. You're in the waiting room. You're called in. The doctor says, "What can I do for you?" You say, "Thank you, doc, that I'm not like your other patients. Like the people in the waiting room. That lady with the weeping eye. The guy with the cough. The lady with the broken wrist. I thank you that I'm not like them. I keep a strict diet. And I watch how I exercise. Thank you." We'd think, what is going on there? You don't go to a doctor to be congratulated for how well you're doing. You go to get help. If you went into a doctor with that attitude, you'd leave from the doctor's office benefiting in what way? When one goes into the gracious presence of God, what does one think, say, and do? What are we there for? What is this guy there for? He trusts in his own righteousness. He prays well about himself. He looks down on the tax collector and others. But he leaves from the temple having received what? Okay, then Jesus changes the picture. "But the tax collector," our Lord says, "standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Let's think here again of the body language. He's not putting himself forward, not standing out to others as a great example. In humility, he does not look up to heaven. In fact, he beats his breast and he says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, let's pause here. A couple of weeks ago, I preached on the healing of the lepers. And in that text, the lepers cry out to the Lord Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." And one of the things I said in that sermon was that that word, "have mercy," is in fact the same word that we use when we meet together Sunday by Sunday and celebrate the Lord's Supper. Kyrie eleison, that eleison, have mercy. That's the word that was used back in that reading. And it's the normal word to have mercy. But the word that is used by the tax collector here in Luke in this parable is a very different word. A word that's used only once in the Gospels and that is not used again in the New Testament except for Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, the verse that I quoted at the beginning of this sermon. This fellow is, yes, asking for mercy, that is true, but for mercy that comes from an atoning sacrifice. Listen again to the Hebrews text. "Jesus had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people." That's the bit. To make a sacrifice of atonement. That's what this guy is asking for. He knows that he needs to be washed clean by God. He needs to have his debt removed. He needs to have his payment made by God, the payment that he can't himself make. He goes to the place of sacrifice. He goes to the temple. And he prays for that gift which God wishes to give, which our Lord Jesus Christ gives. The beautiful things about the parables that Jesus gives are not just that they give us wisdom from God, but they get us on a better path of thinking and life as Christian people. The beautiful thing about the parables is they reveal to us who Jesus is. He, the one speaking the parable, is the one who makes the atonement for our sins. It's because of him that we can come into the household of God, not on the basis of our own righteousness, not treating life as if it's a competition with the rest of humanity and we may have to make sure that we're in the right place. We come into God, his presence, his household, pleading nothing other than the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful path for us to be on, because this frees us to humble ourselves. It gives us freedom to say, God, I am like the rest of humanity. I am a true son of Adam and daughter of Eve. I am temptable as other people are temptable. I'm made of the same sort of stuff. And just like them, I need your help. So today, Lord, I plead not myself, but your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the atoning sacrifice for my sins and for the sins of the world. Think about how this frees us as Christian people. It means that we can come into God's household, even here today, in humility, understanding that we're together because of our sin, together also because of the righteousness of Christ, and that we can stand with our Lord Jesus Christ, and instead of looking with contempt on others, intercede for them, pray for them, just like our Lord Jesus Christ does. As Christian people, we have a life of joy set up before us by God. He provides us with what we can't provide for ourselves. He gives us a different way of thinking about ourselves and others. He gives us the freedom to stand in his presence and to pray confidently about ourselves and about others. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, our brother, is the one who has made atonement for our sins. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.